I'm speaking with Amir, who is a refugee from Egypt and also part of two organizing efforts in Montreal right now. One is the ongoing No One Is Illegal campaign and also the Solidarity Cross Borders campaign. So thank you for speaking with me.
Thank you.
To start off, oftentimes we don't hear the stories of refugees who have come here to Canada. Maybe you can go back and tell us your story of why you came here from Egypt.
Yeah, in fact, I came here from the United States being activist as a leftist and activist in human rights organization in Egypt. And in addition, also to other stuff which made my life very hard over there, I decided to fly to United States. So I got visa and I went to United States in 1999, and my visa, of course, ended within 6 months. Like you have to go back to your country within 6 months. So I decided to stay over there in the United States. And I got this new experience of life where you live as a legal person. And as a legal person, you have to educate yourself from the beginning to be able to survive. You have to learn new skills. You have to do specific kind of jobs, which is allowed only to illegal people, and make them tolerated as long as they do this kind of jobs. And also you have to face everyday danger on a daily basis, scared of police, scared of any kind of problems, which maybe you are not the reason for. And then George Bush came to the power, September 11 happened, and everything changed, turned it upside down in the United States. Mm-hmm. It was a time when they had this registration law. It means that everybody is illegal has to go to register his name, and then they check his file with the police officers, with the national security officers in his country. And if they have political background, he's very exposed to be deported. So we hear that some people went to register their name and they just deported them back to their countries. Deportation into police states is like nightmare. So other people decided to find another solution. And at the time I met those people from the Quakers organization in Vermont, and they helped me to have an appointment with Immigration Canada, and they helped me to come here to Canada as a political refugee. But of course, because you spend some time in the United States without seeking refugee status, which I have my own reason why I didn't do that, here in Canada, normally, as I heard from the lawyers and from the people who are involved in such a process from the beginning, normally you have no chance to be accepted. Mm-hmm. So eventually they will decide to send you back from where you come. Mm-hmm. And now you will face the same danger which you tried to escape from, with no consider for the time or the age or how many years you will live inside the same cycle.
When you left Egypt, you came to New York City.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
And this is in 1999, and
yeah,
then you were in New York City after September 11th happened.
Yeah.
Can you describe maybe like your own personal feelings at the time after that, in terms of the political atmosphere of the city, or the atmosphere as an Arab person living in New York?
September 11 was like a nightmare. It was like sudden change, which we never expect in what's called very rich industrialized countries like United States. Like, I remember September 12, there were a rally in Washington Park for pro-Israeli people, and about hundreds of Israeli were there trying to assimilate this event to the suicidal bombers which Israel is suffering from, trying to build this link between what is the West as a civilization is facing now in general, and trying to figured out the dimension of conflict as if it is cultural conflict. I remember I got debate with one of them, and there was two sides. There were Americans who are debating with them, and Israeli, which constituted the majority at that time. And I found them all of I found them suddenly. I never saw Israeli rally before. Mm-hmm. And I remember that American guy. He stopped in front of me, trying to protect me. He's imagining that I will be in danger. And I just said, I'm going to go on discussion, and I'm not expecting a kind of danger. But a lot of people said at that time, it is really danger to debate as an Arab people in this time, in this place, in this atmosphere, you know.
Yeah.
But I remember also that there was no Arab people. In fact, also, on other dimensions, September 11th, meant for a legal person like me who's doing manual jobs, no chances, no real chances for work. I remember that after September 11, we used to go to some places to work, and the first question, where are you from? So if you are from Arabic country, you have no chance to get the job. For legal people, for Arab people, September 11 meant that the life is going to be more and more difficult. On the political map, you maybe know better than me what happened, but I saw what happened over there in New York. This feeling of the regular American guy that we are targeted by people who are jealous against our values, against our civilization, and this big propaganda machine succeeded in the beginning to give this impression as if the conflict is conflict between values, where some people having minor values and others having higher values, so they hate us because we have this woman freedom, they hate us because we have democracy, they hate us because we express ourselves as gay, as lesbian, as what we want. They hate us, they are jealous. And that's why they attacked us.
And they tried to portray it, I guess, as a clash of civilizations.
Exactly. Exactly. And the success of September 11th, that this idea was adapted by the regular guy. Mm-hmm. You find a lot of regular people on the same tone. This is mainly, as I saw, how September 11th succeeded in achieving this classification of world, which was presupposed theoretically on this by Samuel Huntington and others.
Mm-hmm.
But September 11 achieved it on practical point of view.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the time at that to introduce the facts, to say those people who are oppressed, how do you expect them do carry the same values as you carry.
Mm-hmm.
If you ignore the question of oppression and the question of exploitation, if you ignore the question of unequal development, if you ignore the question that the Western imperialism itself reinforces the most undeveloped streams inside those cultures, how do you define the situation? How do you understand the situation? How you judge the situation without taking in consideration those factors? So it was also for the opposition the time to start moving on Palestinian issue. For example, I saw those events where the Palestinians start reminding Palestinians and their alliances in New York, reminding the New Yorker by the essence of the conflict, to do magazines and to make rallies and to speak a lot about what exactly happened. And it's just trying to say it's not fair if you put people in such miserable situation and then you judge them because of their culture or their opinions. It will not be real fair. And that is also the question of illegal people. You find a lot of illegal people who are completely marginalized.
You mentioned a bit about the work that illegal people are doing. Well, I mean, we hate this term, illegal people. I mean, we say that no one is illegal.
Yeah.
But maybe you could tell me some of the jobs you're working when you first came to North America and what that was like to be in a job and to not have status and what kind of problems you had there.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember the first thing I worked in grocery, so I stayed in this job about 2 months. Then I worked as a security, as a guard for clothes store, clothing store. Like I stopped in front of the store during the winter time, winter 2000, I remember, in front of the store for 7 months, from 10 o'clock to 7 in the street, where you get the snow on your head and you can't get inside the store. And this job continued like about 7 months, as I told you. Then, after 7 months, the store was closed. Maybe I was able to continue if I have a chance. But anyway, it was like this difficult situation. Then I worked in a lot of restaurants, in general restaurants, because this is a thing which I learned after a long time. I remember first year in New York, I was fired from about 10 places because everybody see you without skills. They don't keep you, and in New York there is no time to teach anybody about anything, so just get rid of you. And at the time, I had to sell watches in the street illegally, because I had known this guy. He was my friend, and he has little store to sell watches, so he used to give me some, and I go in the street trying to escape from the police, not looking, and then going to some stores selling some watches or something, any way to make your life possible to survive. And after September 11, as I told you before, even these chances were lesser. There was no real chance now to do anything. As I told you, the people themselves is questioning you. They suspect you. They are scared of you, and in the same time, there is a strong police existence in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
So, life's changing.